Hello, Internet, and welcome to Codename Copacetic. I am Chris.
I'm Carrie.
And we're here to answer questions, talk about the Bible, talk about theology, as we always do every week, right here at your iPod, question mark?
Or other listening device?
Or other listening device.
That was an excellent, like, commercial.
Thank you.
Just saying.
I try to plug our own...
We have commercials for our own show on our show.
Are you tired?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Have you ever wondered about theology? We'll come up with a better
probably, yeah.
I'm just singing The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, apparently today, because today we're talking about Psalm 23. Psalm 23, it's a pretty famous psalm.
Yeah.
I think most people know it.
Yep.
If you've ever gone through the whole rigmarole of like Sunday school and other things, typically this is the verse, the chapter that you memorize.
Yep.
Besides maybe John 3:16.
Yeah.
Cool. So.
I had to memorize Psalm 23.
So did I.
And I got a king-size candy bar for doing it.
What?
Yeah, man. It was awesome.
I didn't get nothing. I got zero. Nada. Nothing.
Should have went to my church.
Noodle. I should have gone to a Lutheran church.
You've gotten king-size candy bars.
That was not my dad's church. So, anyway, but before we begin on the Psalm 23, just to update you on my, the last podcast, I met with a bunch of my peeps, the classes, if you will, and they examined me for 2 straight hours, asking me random questions, and not so random questions. And I, Chris Meester, am now an official, unofficial, licensed candidate within the RCA.
Woo!
Woo!
Yay!
Party! Yay! All right. So, a bit of the process, they set me down. They asked me a bunch of questions, like, so we had planned questions. And the planned questions were pretty good because, you know, I can study for those. I can kind of get a feel of what's going to go down and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that always terrifies me is the crowd questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know what they're going to bring up.
Right.
You just never know. And so, you know, some of those questions range from, if a parishioner comes to you and says, hey, I think my house is haunted, I need you to perform an exorcism.
Jeepers.
What do you say? And you might say jeepers.
You
might call the Ghostbusters, or in your case, it sounded more like Scooby-Doo. for me, you know, I answered, you know, I want to sit down and talk with them to see what exactly is going on, and then maybe perform a blessing of the house, because I'm not going to claim I know anything about exorcisms.
Right.
It also ranged from, you know, if Jesus is God, how and why is he praying to God the Father when he's, you know, here on earth and all that stuff. So there I used my trump card.
Mm.
It's a mystery of the faith.
Nice.
Not that it should be used as a trump card, but we can do more of that stuff later. But, so, I am now officially an unofficial licensed candidate within the RCA.
Congratulations!
Passing with honors.
Look at you.
And it's all because of this podcast.
You know what? Yeah, we're going to take credit for that. Yep. Every time that you have, like, have a call, you need to have an asterisk by your name and be like, with Codename Copacetic.
Please refer to Codename Copacetic. So,
oh, goodness.
Anyway, so that's the load off. And so now today we're going to talk about Psalm 23 because that's what we talked about for 3 hours in Psalms class.
Yeah. So why not talk about it more here?
Right. So Carrie, you're going to talk about it more here.
Okay. should we read the Psalm?
Sure.
Yeah. Because, like, I think people know it, but, like, why not read it if we're going to talk about it? You know what I'm saying?
True.
Are you reading it or am I?
Magdalene! If you want to.
Sorry, that was my cat.
Yeah, we're referring to a cat.
She's trying to play with my Legos. And as much as that makes me happy, She should not play with my Legos because she wants to eat them for some reason.
Yeah. I understood that.
You know.
You know. So
you understood why to eat Legos?
Well, I was a kid once. And there's also a song, you know. Let's build a Lego house. We can build this up, then we can knock it down.
Right.
Come on.
That's true. So, Psalm 23, which has a house in it, but of the Lord, not of Legos.
See how we made that connection there?
Look at me transition. Are you reading it or am I reading it?
Why don't you read it?
Okay. I don't know what translation this is. I'm guessing NRSV.
She's reading from a commentary.
I'm reading from a commentary. I'm going to guess this is NRSV because it's Brueggemann and that's what he tends to cool deal guy. With.
Yeah. He does.
So yeah, we're just, yeah. The King of Love, the King of Love my shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Hmm. Not the house of Legos.
So.
Sorry. So, that is Psalm 23.
A Psalm of David.
A Psalm of David, which I skipped, which is kind of bad of me. Probably the most famous psalm, I believe we could say. Said at a lot of funerals. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's written, everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to do the general route, I mean, like we said before, memorized, written on plaques and
fancy. Given to you at confirmation.
Yeah. Fancy doilies.
Right.
You know, all those things. Beloved part of the scriptures.
Yeah.
So, shall we go through this?
Sure.
Bit by bit. Sure. Do a little exegesis.
Let's do some exegesis. Which sounds really scary, but it's not.
It's not. Comes Greek term, exo.
Out of.
Out of. Jesus. Jesus. Ha!
No. No. Isn't Jesus like... The beginning? Is that wrong?
That's more Genesis. It's either beginning or rule.
Right.
Or it's something to do with word and knowing. I don't know. I'd have to look.
Right.
I'd have to look it up because I might be getting my Greek terms mixed up. I'm not a Greek scholar. You know? Like I'm not one who's gonna claim anything about any of that.
Yeah.
So while I'm looking up what exegesis means,
I'll just start.
Yeah.
Exegeting.
Yeah.
So we'll start just at the beginning.
That's a good place to start.
It's a very good place to start. When we read, we begin with ABC. When we exegete, we begin with alpha, beta, gamma.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Okay. The psalm starts off with a metaphor of the Lord being a shepherd. Mm. And so, also, when I was little, I always hated the line, I shall not want, because to me, it sounded like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. To me, felt like the Lord is my shepherd that I don't want. Mm. Like, I got confused on that. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, this is a terrible psalm. Why is everyone talking about it? But it's not, like, that you don't want this, like, the Lord. It's that you're not in want. You don't need anything. You're not wanting anything because the Lord is your shepherd and is taking care of you because mm-hmm. you're a sheep. So, yeah, that's the main metaphor for the first part of the psalm where it talks about how God is your shepherd and helps you to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. And all these good things
right. So
for you. What's up? Well, why are you giggling?
why don't we stop there and let's do the thematic thing
okay.
that we were doing earlier today. So we have a class in Psalms. And so why don't we have a little tiny discussion about what it means to be a shepherd?
Okay.
So Carrie?
Yeah.
What does it mean to be a shepherd?
So, okay, I was never a shepherd in my life, but...
Oh, really?
Really. But I did grow up on a farm.
Okay.
Okay. So, and we didn't have sheep. But we did have cows.
Yeah, cows. Dairy or beef?
Dairy.
Okay.
So, and like, I mean, I did some of the, like, milking and stuff and, like, the feeding or whatever. But I like to, in my head, maybe this isn't right, but I often... Like when it talks about shepherd and sheep, I think of calves, baby cows, because they're roughly the size of a sheep, ish, kind of. They might be a little bigger.
They're
taller.
They're
anyway,
sheepish.
They're sheepish. Anyway, so like I always get the imagery of okay, so, calves are baby cows, and they're idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, granted, they're babies, so they don't know much, but they are severely frustrating and can be just, like, the most annoying things on the planet when they just won't eat or whatever. Like, do just stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, oh, I'm gonna jump in this hay, like, trough and then not be able to get out of it. Like, they're just dumb creatures. They're always doing things wrong, but they're cute and adorable. And, you know, like, and will grow up to be cows that will give you milk. And, like, they're, you know, they're good, but they're idiots.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I think of the Lord being my shepherd, I think of being a stupid calf who can't, like, do anything right, really, but yet is still redeemable.
Oh, okay.
So, I like to think of the Lord as a shepherd taking care of these idiot humans that can't do anything right, but yet are redeemable and adorable, even though, like, they're dumb. So, it's kind of this, like, outpouring of unconditional love.
Your whole...
For us stupid creatures.
Your whole calf metaphor here. I mean,
uh-huh.
So, when you were saying all that, all I could think of was veal. Like, darn it, the Darkest Valley, hello.
Yeah. I can be made into veal. But God's going to protect me and allow me to grow up to be a milking cow.
Oh, wow. And so your cup overfloweth with milk. Cool. We didn't have... I mean, I grew up in Iowa, and I spent a lot of time on farms. I never grew up necessarily on a farm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I did enough of the work on farms
right.
to tell you quite a bit that goes into it. Now, granted, it was all crops and stuff.
Right. Did you ever do the detasseling? Because, like, everyone in Iowa did. It's like a rite of passage. I don't understand.
Well... Rock picking and
yep.
walking beans and tasseling are the trifecta of being an Iowan. Like, if you need a badge of Iowan-ness.
Right.
However you would say that. Iowan-ness.
Iowananity.
Iowananity.
Okay, stop.
I mean, it'd be detasseling, rock picking, and walking beans.
Right. Okay.
So, and I think... what the psalm starts out with then is that agricultural, you
mm-hmm.
know, it starts out with nature.
Right.
And to be honest, we're in the city now
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, nature is around us kind of,
but not really.
It's a whole bunch of cement.
There's not really a whole lot of like green pastures and still waters
mm-hmm.
when we look around. It's more buildings. And cars.
And I wonder, you know, like, so when we say beside still waters or green pastures, you know, what do people in cities think of? Is it connectable?
He makes me lie down in city parks.
In city parks.
And leads me beside well-flowing traffic.
Right. I mean, See, that's just it. Is it like slow-moving traffic that we have to talk about? You know,
right.
like where you can walk at the crosswalks and not worry about getting hit by a car?
Right.
Or, you know, can I say a still water? and have that.
Stillwater, Minnesota.
Stillwater. Look at those connections happening.
Beep, beep, beep.
But can I say that, you know, when I think of green pastures, I think of prairie land, because I'm from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of wind rustle, you know, the quiet, gentle breeze coming through, and you see the grass kind of move.
Right.
And all this stuff, but I don't know. Does it make a connection for us 21st century people? And to even use God as shepherd.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, God refers to shepherds all the time as kings or as rulers or as people who are over someone else.
Right.
Or leaders.
I think, in my opinion, which, again, my opinion, not fact, I think that there is something lost in the metaphor. Like, I think that we're able to picture, and maybe it's because I grew up on a farm, but even living in a city, like, I can picture lying down in green pastures and being beside, like, a still river, or lake or whatever body of water you want to imagine. Like, I think that we're able to still imagine that. We still have that, like, Disney-esque imagination of the cottage in the woods, you know? Like, I think that we're able to see that. We might not connect with it as much as someone who was living in that environment. But I think that we can use our imaginations. But I do think also that we lose a lot of the Lord is my shepherd. Like, I don't think we really know what that means anymore.
Right.
Just because we're not shepherds. We don't know what shepherds do. We don't have a lot of shepherds in our society. Like, you know?
Right.
Well, like, I think we can have, like, this glorified, like, imagined, picturesque image of what a shepherd is, but I don't know exactly what a shepherd does.
Well, I mean, I always think of, so, you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid.
Right.
So we had a bunch of religious art.
Right.
And when I climbed up the stairs, there are two paintings. One was Jesus praying at the rock in Gethsemane. And the other was Jesus with a lamb hung over his shoulders and then, you know, shepherd's rod.
Right.
In the other hand. And, you know, I'm kind of like, well, that's a cool image. That's immediately what I think of.
Right.
When we say, Lord is my shepherd, I immediately go, Jesus with a shepherd's rod and the lamb around his, you know, around his neck and carrying it. And so, but what does that, you know, what does that whole thing entail?
Right.
It's kind of what would need to be explored. And, I mean, you know, we touched on it, like, kings were mentioned as shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of comes from David, I would guess, you know?
Yeah, I would guess,
David is a shepherd.
Right.
Before he becomes a king, but then means he becomes a shepherd. So it's like a shepherdception. Or maybe.
Christopher Nolan directed this movie.
Maybe that's an archetype. Maybe that's a, you know, something to explore even deeper.
Right.
But, you know, David wasn't like this, like what we would think of as a shepherd.
Right.
Where you just kind of sit on a hill and do nothing as your sheep do stuff.
Right.
I mean, he was out there facing lions and with just a slingshot and,
right,
you know.
And I think we kind of miss that, like, the gritty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of the movie Prince of Egypt, right, about Moses. And there's a part where he's out and, like, hanging out with his wife's family, and he's a shepherd. And he's just, like, sitting around with the sheep, right? And that's, like, kind of all he does. And there's, like, this, like, picturesque moment where he's, like the wind is blowing in his hair and, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, yeah, sure, there's that aspect of being a shepherd. But there's also, like, fending off wolves and other beasts that are going to come and kill your sheep. And there's, like, helping ewes give birth and, like, you know, making sure it's like that, you know, you have to keep track of all these sheep that just want to, like, wander around. And you, like, they get stuck places and it's muddy and dirty and I don't know.
Well, like you said, they are pretty stupid.
And they're idiots.
I mean, and we all are sheep, right?
Yes.
So here's this image of the Lord as the shepherd. And as we've mentioned before, kings are mentioned as shepherds in the Old Testament. So, you know, so we talked about David being that, but there's also, like, in Ezekiel, where God yells at the leadership saying, you guys are shepherds, right. and you're eating your own sheep,
yeah.
you idiots,
yeah.
I'm going to be the shepherd, yeah. you know, and I'm going to find new shepherds to take care of them. So there's this image of, you know, kingship being tied to shepherding, tied to nature. And then we move on to the New Testament, where shepherds are this low class.
Right.
Not really considered much of anything.
Right.
You know, people who are dirty, stinky, smelly, hang out with sheep all the time. I'm kind of getting a vibe of hippies, you know?
Like yeah.
Hippies out in the wilderness. But that's not, you know, that's not true. Because right. they're still doing the whole fend off. Wild animals. And
but they're like, yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. They're the working, like, the lower working class of, mm-hmm. like, they're getting dirty and gross all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Who wants to hang out with someone like that? that's, like, always with sheep and smells.
Which leads us into.
Oh, gosh.
Pastors are often.
Woohoo!
Are often referred to as shepherds.
Yes.
Right? So, what do you think of that? Like. Now that we just said, sheep are stupid, they smell like the sheep, and all that stuff, what do we make of that, you know?
Well, I mean, okay, I never think, like, I understand where the metaphor for pastors being shepherds comes from. I don't like it, though, because to me, being a pastor, I'm just another sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel, like, yeah, they're not, yeah. I'm just another sheep. I don't have any more authority over anyone else.
Right.
You know, that, like, I don't have any more of God's authority or anything. Like, I have none of that. I'm just another stupid sheep that was like, hey, let's go to this river and not that one. I don't right. know, you know? I'm what? A sheep with leadership skills, is what I'm saying.
Right. And, you know, maybe we should clarify, right? Like, we don't think that.
People right, are and we
stupid.
Right.
we're just having a joke because
right.
I'll speak for myself. I'm pretty stupid.
Yeah.
So
I'm not smart enough to be a shepherd.
Right. So, but this image does get you. I mean, it gets used for leadership in the Old Testament, and then I think it gets really tied in the New Testament, mm-hmm. where Jesus is talking to Peter and John, and he says, you know, hey, go feed my sheep. Go tend to my sheep. Go care for my sheep. And
and he's like, dude, okay.
Right. And Peter's like, oh, I get it now. Cool. And so there's all these images that we have to connect together. But I think if we're going to take the John text, pastors are more like sheepdogs.
Right.
Like we learned today.
Yep.
So thinking about that. You know, maybe a helpful way of saying, right. you know, the shepherd's off over there doing stuff, but the, you know, this little like, flock here
right.
is going to be guarded by a sheepdog.
Like, the shepherd overall is watching the entire flock,
mm-hmm.
but a sheepdog can, like, take care of these 10 sheep
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Whatever number you want to choose. Like, can, you know,
mm-hmm.
can help and, like, kind of guide the sheep a little bit and keep them somewhat in line and bark at them.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of barking from the pulpit.
Bark at them from a pulpit for 30 minutes once a week, you know.
But to care for them, too.
But really, to care for them. And then also, I think, to, yeah, and like, but it's not that, like, we don't replace the shepherd in any way, or, right. you know.
We're always representing the head.
Right.
Right, which would be Christ.
Right.
Cool. So.
Yay.
That was a lot from just one word. look at what we do. So, why don't we talk about this that confuses me.
The table thing?
Yeah, the whole table thing.
Okay.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay. So, I've got to take a step back and picture this.
Okay.
Right? So, here's God. And gets out the linen, the white linen cloth. And he shakes it out a little bit. And he puts it over the table. And then he puts on the plates. And he makes this nice little feast. And then he pulls out a chair and he says, hey, come sit down. And I come sit down. And then across the table, just a little ways off, are all my enemies. And I sit there at the head of the table and I take my knife and my fork and I slowly
carve the roast beast.
Carve the roast beast. And I take a nice bite and chew it for a while and go, why are my enemies here? Question mark. So yeah, it's just been an image that confuses me. Like what's so Carrie, what's going on here?
Well,
tell me what's going on.
Oh gosh. do we want to go to like the history of the table?
I suppose we could do that.
Okay. So here's the dealio. The table that they, that the psalmist would be writing about, would be about 18 inches off the ground. It's one that you would actually recline at, like on your elbow, kind of. And that's the one that you would eat at. And then the cup is like a shallow bowl.
Right.
That you would eat or drink out of. Would you also eat out of it? Question mark?
Well, I mean, I think they had specific, you know.
Right.
Specific things for specific things. So like if they had a bowl, it wasn't necessarily that it was a food and water, but.
So anyway.
Probably could.
That's just a small history of what that would look like. Well, but I would just like to put an asterisk on that of saying, but picture whatever table you want.
Right.
Like.
Right.
I'm not here to tell you to like be historically factual in your imagery. Like picture whatever table you want to picture.
Right. And I think it's.
That's the freedom of poetry.
It's the freedom. Freedom of a Christian.
An interpretation.
So, but I think this brings up an important point of as soon as a word is said, we have a certain picture in our mind, and everyone already has a certain picture in our mind. So when I say, you prepare a table before me, I have no idea what it looks like to prepare a table back then. Right. I have no idea what a table looks like back then.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know, you know, what any of that would mean. And so to say that a table is already automatically you have the picture of a tabletop and four legs and they're high off the ground and there's a chair there.
Right.
Because that's what we do.
Right.
And we automatically think table plus chair equals
feast.
Yeah, this thing.
Yeah.
So to have it at 18 inches and that you have to recline, I think one of the most important images that we miss when we don't think of it like that is that you're reclining.
It's true, yep.
So you're very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And that all of a sudden becomes more important when he adds, and it's in the presence of my enemies.
Right.
Like, you can't just, like, scoot your chair back and run away. Like, this means you have to get up, crouch down. Like, do all these fancy maneuvers.
I think, too... Oh, sorry.
Well, no. It's just that your enemies, then...
Right.
...could be standing around you, and here's this table where you're lying down.
I think, too, there's a sense of, when we get to the lying down, like, there's a sense of comfort that comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, yes, you're really vulnerable, but you're reclining.
Mm-hmm.
You're reclining.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're not standing at a table, you're not sitting on a chair at a table, you're not... You know, like, you're not, yeah, you're not poised to run away, or you're not poised for, like, protection, and I can't think of the word that I want right now, so I'm just gonna keep going.
Defense.
Thank you! You're not, like, yeah, you're not defensive in any way.
Right.
And so I think to recline, yeah, shows great vulnerability, but also, like, great comfort in that I can just recline here at a table with all of my enemies.
which now you can see how that connects with the first half. Or, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to connect.
Right.
But there's, you know, the sense of, oh, God is leading me, God is here. There's this big trust, big comfort. And now the trust is even put, you know, even more so in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, walking through the darkest valley, walking through evil. Mm-hmm. And now to have that literal image of, okay, now you're at a table. Imagine you're at a table. And all your enemies are surrounding you.
Right.
You can recline and eat.
Right.
You don't have to worry about anything. God's got this, you know. So that's, I find that interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where where you can be like, oh, so God isn't just saying, gloat over your enemies, my young son or daughter.
Right.
Like, this is saying, I've given you a place of honor where others would try to shame you, and you do not have to worry that maybe, you know, that you will die because of this. I found it very powerful today when he said, you know, if our law is shame, right, the response isn't the gospel, you are forgiven. It's the gospel, you are honored.
You are honored.
And so this right here says, if your enemies try to shame you,
I will honor you.
I will honor you.
Yeah.
Which I find beautiful.
Find that beautiful.
Which is where the anointing head oil cup overflowing and the cup being a shower bowl and
right,
easier to pour, easier to do things. And but even though you know you're not necessarily supposed to do this all the time, you might want to try to find ways in which this connects to baptism and connects to communion.
Mm-hmm.
Because the table that they're talking about is what Jesus, you know,
right,
Jesus reclines with his enemies. You know, if we think about it in that way, right?
Right.
And gives the enemy the place of honor.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do now? Oh, snap. So we might try to draw these parallels then, right? Saying, okay, in communion, God gives me comfort at this table.
Right.
Even with my enemies.
Right.
But now, even more radically, God might give a place at the table to my enemies.
Right.
And he's going to honor each and every one of us. What? Okay, God, what's going on? You know, like this is the time in the test where we say, can I be comfortable here?
Right.
Does that happen? And I think, you know, Psalm 23 is a trust psalm. And I think we trust, we have faith. We don't believe, although it comes with that.
Right.
We just trust, we have faith that God's going to protect us at that table. And that's communion.
Right. You know? And I like the imagery of the overflowing cup with communion as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking of, like, the actual chalice cup that's there. And right, just how that, like, does overflow to all people.
Mm-hmm. Abundant life for
yes,
all. Abundance.
Well, I was going to move on to another point. But
yeah, go for it.
Okay. Quick thing, maybe, because we're...
We went pretty long on that shepherd thing.
We did. But, you know, shepherds are cool. But one thing that really struck me today when we were talking was the whole, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Mm.
And our professor was like, cross out the word follow and write pursue.
Mm.
And I like that a lot better, where I think, like, I don't know, for me, goodness and mercy following me seems like it's just kind of around.
Come along.
And, right. Exactly. And, like, almost it's, like, behind me or something. But, like, goodness and mercy shall pursue me. It's, like, you're being pursued. Like, he's, like, it'll hunt you down like a boar hound. Like, you're, like, surely, like, goodness and mercy is going to do anything to get to you.
It's going to run, and it's going to chase you down, and it's going to tackle you.
Right.
And it may, you know.
All of the days of your life.
All the days of your life. Like, this isn't just some passive thing like, oh, are you ready for me to come?
Right.
No, it's bam, you get tackled first thing in the morning with this mercy and grace, and, like, it just doesn't, you know.
And it doesn't let up.
Yeah.
There's
well,
no relent.
Connect that with the cup overflowing.
Right.
Like, stand under a waterfall sometime and just be like, oh, this is what Psalm 23 is talking about.
Yeah.
Like, mercy is going to just pursue me and keep hitting me on the head, like, to a point where I can't even stand up anymore because
right,
it's just so much. You know, well, I don't think, you know, God would want you to
well, right, like,
and walk.
God's not going to, like, just want to paralyze you, but...
you just got to use that image and go with it as far
yeah,
as you possibly can, you know? Like, you are totally and undeniably blessed, hesed. You are considered a righteous one,
right,
loving kindness and mercy. But yeah, that he's going to... And that's what I love about the image, too, in, like, the New Testament, where God rips apart the heavens. Like, now God's on the loose, and the Holy Spirit just immediately shoots down to Jesus and is like, here I am, what up? And now he's in the world. What's going on? Oh, no. Like,
what's
going
to happen?
God is going to pursue each and every one of you. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's a beautiful image once again.
Yes.
And so we shall dwell in the house of the Lord. For them, probably meant temple.
Temple.
It's a place where they could keep going back to God. For us, we kind of hear that word and we go, oh, salvation. Or heaven. Or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
So, but that's why it's important to hear my whole life long and say, it's present here and now.
Right.
We go, God comes to us, God pursues us.
Even before
heaven.
Jesus came around.
However you want to say that all goes. So.
So.
That's Psalm 23.
Yeah, that's.
Everyone thinks they know.
23 minutes on Psalm 23. Know. It probably wasn't 23 minutes on Psalm 23.
No,
but
that was
over that.
A little longer. But.
That'd be cool though. Yeah. Anyway.
We should have thought of that beforehand.
Dang it.
Oh well. So, yeah. I think that's good.
Yeah. So.
All right. So, with that then, I guess we'll keep going. We're heading into Easter, so that should be fun and to have topics about and things like that.
Yep.
But hopefully everyone is doing well. We'll keep going on with topics and see what we can come up with for the next few weeks.
Woo!
Cool. All right. Then, with that, I am Chris.
I am Carrie.
And we will talk with you in the next podcast. Bye-bye.